Charles James is the fourth generation in his family to own and operate one of the oldest family-owned businesses in the United States, the C.H. James Company. James said that he remembers being invited to the local country club, but his father, in an earlier generation, was not asked to join until the 80s.
It was a product of the time. I mean, no blacks were in country clubs, but it's interesting because he knew them as businessmen. They bought and they sold from each other, but at certain points the line was drawn where the social life took over.
In 1963, Ebony Magazine featured an article about the CH store with a subheading that read, "Firm has white clients." It didn't just have white clients. Most of the people who dealt with the CH store were white. James said that it was the quality of the products they sold that motivated these customers to cross racial lines.
And that's why I thought they must have been really shrewd business people, because they were not part of the good old boy network. But the reason they built that business was through price, quality, and service. So they said, you know what, Jim? We'll play golf on Sunday, but I'm buying my produce from Charlie James.
Also in 1963, his grandfather, who had campaigned for JFK, was invited to the White House. A generation earlier, his great-grandfather exchanged letters with President Teddy Roosevelt, who admired James and the business that he had started from the ground up. It began in 1883 when C.H. James Sr. moved to West Virginia from Ohio and began selling goods from a mule cart, trading with coal miners. The miners had no cash, only scrip money, so he traded goods in exchange for produce that they could grow. His son would later say, "You have to diversify to survive." Just before the 1929 stock market crash, the company went bankrupt, but the family was able to pick up the pieces and begin again, opening a small produce stall at Charleston's original farmers market on Patrick Street. Before the James family came to West Virginia, they were involved in helping to organize part of the Underground Railroad in Ohio. Elliot Hicks, an African-American who grew up in the west side of Charleston, says all of these stories of his community should be remembered and talked about.
And Charleston was an enabling community. And I got to see when black people owned businesses here at that time. We need to see how we can succeed by looking back at history. We need to see what we can use from that to move forward. And so knowing history is awfully important.
The once diverse neighborhood known as the Block had many historic buildings that were lost in the 1960s due to urban renewal and interstate expansion. Today, there are just a few historic buildings from the Block that remain, five of which are listed in the National Register of Historic Places. This year, the West Virginia Center for African American Art and Culture placed signs downtown to mark the Block. Much of that history lies hidden beneath the interstate, but the memories are still around. The Block Speaker Series is another effort to preserve the almost erased history. The third of these events will take place on August 28th at the Culture Center Archives and History. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.